Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to worship, and as always, please take time to sign a guest card at some point during our worship service. Also, we thank Men's Group for hosting Coffee Hour. There is a men's breakfast coming up this month, and Reverend Farah will be speaking once again on passing the faith onto our children and grandchildren. Women are invited to that also. You do need to sign up for it so we can make sure we have enough for breakfast. Also, JAMS, January 25th, have an event at Troy Gym. So if that concerns you, check it out in your announcements. Also, Camp Restore, we've been working there. Yesterday, we had about 26 people work at Camp Restore, got a lot accomplished. They did demolition during the month of February, 18th through 22nd. We're going to spend the week building the walls. So if you can help, check that out in your announcements. Also, Women's Tuesday evening Bible study begins again this week. And there's also a family service night here at Redeemer. We're making care packages for the homeless, the homebound, the struggling mothers, and even for our firefighters next door with our new firehouse. So we want to make sure that we take care of them. Though if there's a fire, we're going to wait a little bit till the sanctuary burns down, and then phase two will be taken care of. But, so if you'd like to donate some items to that, there is a listing in your announcements. You can bring them into town square. If you want to come to that evening service night, we'd love to have you. We're going to have dinner, so please sign up for that. Also, Wing and a Prayer Players, nice work if you can get it, is the performance, January 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. You can buy tickets during coffee hour. Also, Bible study. We have a new Bible study beginning next Sunday at 9 o'clock. It's going to go for a number of Sundays. Jeff Gallo will be leading it, and it's about evolution versus creation. So it should be a really informative Bible study. Also, as you know, last week we kicked off phase two, and we showed you many images, but I know many have not seen the fly-through that we've had prepared. It really shows what the vision is of phase two of Sacred Space. So we're going to watch that now. We're going to bring down the projector. We rise for opening
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and contrite heart.
Invite the children forward for the children's message. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great job saying good morning. 9 o'clock was so bad, we had to get the congregation to help. So you did a wonderful job. You know, when I do a children's sermon, I always like to give something for you to take home. Yeah, you remember the story or the little message. And, you know, it's like going to McDonald's, get a Happy Meal, right? You get something. And I want you to always remember, you go to church to get something because God's here to give us something. So I order a bunch of stuff for these messages, and you know, sometimes I order something and say, what am I gonna talk about with that? How do I connect it to God? Look at these cool rubber frogs you're gonna get today, yeah. But how do we connect a rubber frog to God? What story could we use? The frogs? The plague, yes, wow. Know what you're learning at home. Yeah, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, Pharaoh wouldn't let them go, and so God sent these plagues, and the second plagues was a bunch of frogs. But you know what else? I thought, you know what? How do you spell frog? F-R-O-G. If you take every letter of frog and make a word out of it, let's frog F. Fully? fully, say fully, are rely, say rely, fully rely, oh, on, oh, let's see, fully rely on God, right, God, fully rely on God. So you can take this to school and, you know, maybe you're having a bad day. Maybe you feel lonely. You can look at it and say, God's with me. Maybe you have a test or a quiz and you're a little nervous. You can look at that. Fully rely on God. You can rely on God. He's always there for you. So I want to thank you for coming up and helping me with the children's message, and have a great day at Sunday school.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from the book of Proverbs, selected chapters and verses. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to want. Without counsel, plans go wrong, but with many advisors, they succeed. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. A wise man is mightier than a strong man, and a man of knowledge than he who has strength. The plans of the mind belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will be established. A man's steps are ordered by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Here ends the epistle reading.
Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Here ends the Holy Gospel.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever have a difficult conversation with somebody? You know, maybe it was filled with frustration, disagreement, even some anger. And when you're done and you're parting ways, you just want to tell that person, "I hope that the rest of your day is awful." Right? I mean, all of us have been there, right? We wanted to say something like that. We wanted to convey that thought, but that's not what we do usually when we say goodbye to somebody. We usually say goodbye or have a good one. You hear people say that, or have a nice day. What if instead of goodbye, we said, "God by ye"? God by ye. You know, that's where goodbye comes from. The construction phrase of "God be with ye." It'd be nice if we still had that thought with those words. You know what I use now? It takes a while to get adjusted to saying a different thing, a farewell to people. But I even used it yesterday. I was at the gas station buying something, and I told this person these words, and you know, it was after she dismissed me saying goodbye, and her whole face lit up. She said, "Thank you very much. Have a blessed day." It takes a while to get used to saying that, but try it. See how people respond. Have a blessed day. You know, words can make a difference in somebody's day, can make a difference in your life. When I was in Illinois for 9 years serving a parish, there was farm community, and more than one person, that's why it sticks with me, would always use this phrase when they talked about the future. Lord willing. The Lord willing, we'll do this, we'll do that. They get that from the book of James. That's what James is talking about. Now, James is not condemning planning for the future. He's not condemning going to this city or that city and making some money. In fact, planning is good. That's what we heard from our Old Testament lesson, selected Proverbs, the importance of planning, of wise counsel, of getting input. There's nothing wrong with that. What was the problem for James? These people made plans without considering God being a part of it. You and I do that all the time, I think. And James tells us it's a false pride that we shouldn't be thinking that way. He wants us to realize, what does he say? Your life is just a mist. It's here today and gone tomorrow. You know, we forget about that. Then maybe sickness comes into our life or the life of a loved one, and all of a sudden, we realize how fragile our life is. One of us could be gone today, like that. It just happens. And James, he's challenging us. He's saying, when you talk about the future, when you make plans, you better incorporate God. Show your humility. Know that God and his divine providence is over you. And what God wants done, he'll get done. So often we put God on Sunday. Then throughout the week we make our plans. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And we don't consult him. We don't make him a part of our worldview. And that's what James is encouraging. That God would be a part of our everyday life, every decision, to consider what God's will is, to live as if we live under his blessing. James wants us to understand all that you have, all that you accomplish, all your blessings only happen because God allowed it. God supplied it. Even the bad things. I mean, if God is in total control, doesn't mean he's the author of bad things. But if he's in total control, he allowed some bad things to happen to each and every one of us. And there must be a purpose to that. In living with that realization that we live under the divine providence of God, everything has purpose. Everything has reason. Listen to Paul when he talks about leaving Ephesus. He said in Acts 19:21, but as he left, he promised, I will come back if it is the Lord's will. 1 Corinthians 4:19, but I will come to you very soon. If the Lord is willing, living under that idea that God is in total control. Doesn't mean you have to incorporate those words, Lord willing, but as it made a difference in my life, and I still remember it, or saying have a blessed day to somebody, those words can impact other people's lives. And it reminds them they live under the divine providence of God. God wants to invade all of our life. Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul says you got to walk with God. How do you walk with God? You know his word. That's where God is revealed. The more you know his word, the more you're going to know his will. And in understanding his will, the more it will guide you in your life decisions and direction and comfort you in those times where things don't go as you planned or as you hoped. You know, God is not going to answer every vision we have for happiness or every prayer we bring to him the way we want it. He'll answer, but maybe not the way we want it. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it's thine will, take this cup of suffering from me. But not my will, your will be done. Such a close relationship with the Father. His dad. Is there another way? We're told he sweats blood in the garden. A rare medical condition called hemohidrosis does happen. You know what comfort there is to know that our God understands when we're afraid. He understands when we're scared to death. He's been through it. He knows what's in front of him. The betrayal, the arrest, the beatings, the whipping, the nails. Dad, is there another way? But there wasn't. It wasn't within the Father's will to grant that vision. Listen to what Acts said. And this is after death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. They were like puppets in the store of redemption, and they served the will of God in putting Jesus on the cross. And why is this Jesus put on the cross? Isaiah 53:10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him. This is a prophecy about the Jesus to come. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and throw along his days. Jesus is that offering for sin. Unholy things can't be in the presence of God. I'm unholy. You're unholy. We may think at times that we're pretty good, at least compared to other people, but in the standard of God, we're unholy, we're sinful. We cannot be in his presence. And that's why God sends his Son out of love. He sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He puts our sin, he becomes our sin, the Bible says, and we receive in faith his righteousness. If we have the righteousness of Christ, then we have the right to stand in the presence of a holy God. And we have the right to call him Father, Daddy. And that's all given to us through Jesus Christ. He came to pay the price for our sins. He came to open up heaven for us. And think, Jesus put you first. He put you first. He wanted to share his eternity. He didn't want to share this broken world with you, though he walks through it with you, but he wouldn't want this to be eternity for you. He promises you eternity in a new heaven and a new earth because he wants you with him so much. You're that important to him. The Bible says we love God because he first loved us. We respond to that love. Now, knowing that we live under the divine providence of God, and knowing that God is in control, in fact, Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. God is always in control. There's a lot of comfort in knowing that. There's a lot of comfort in knowing God has a plan and a purpose. In Acts 16, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. What a comforting passage. Paul had a plan. They had a vision, and what happens? They get to that place where they're going to do the ministry of God, and God shuts a door. Sometimes God shuts a door to our dream, to our vision, to our prayer. Now, I don't know what that door is for you. You know, maybe for some it's finding that right spouse to share your life with. Maybe it's a career path that you were hoping for, a job. Maybe it's a university you wanted to get into. And there's a closed door What comfort to know that God has a plan for us. That one closed door takes us to another door. The mistake we often make is we stand by that door. We keep waiting for that door to open. Paul didn't wait for that door to open. Paul looked for a new opening, and he found a new opening. God showed him the way, and God opens doors for you and I each and every day when we come to those closed doors. He has a plan for our life. He oversees our life. Now, maybe you're in the midst of a valley right now. Maybe you're in a dark area. You know, those mountaintop experiences are great, aren't they? Every mountaintop experience is connected by a valley. It's important to remember. Many times those valleys are directing us in the way God wants us to go. And I know sometimes life can be so disappointing that at times we don't want to go on. And maybe we struggle with that whole thought of ending our life. Now, God doesn't like when we choose our own exit plan. He's got an exit plan for us. He has a plan for our life. And it's not to take it. I talked to confirmands, our third year confirmands. We were talking about suicide. And so often, you know, people will say it's the unforgivable sin. No, the unforgivable sin is rejecting Jesus. But we talked, and, you know, it's not the way God wants us to go, to give up on life. And I know that for some of us, there's days that we can't live for ourselves. In those days, live for somebody else. Live for somebody who loves you. Live for somebody who's connected to you. Live for somebody who prays for you. You're going to find if you can do that a day and a day and a day, eventually you'll be able to live for yourself. And you'll find that path that God is directing you on. God has a plan. God has a purpose even when you're in the valley, even when the door is shut. There's another open door. There's another mountaintop experience. And you don't give up. It's not always easy. You hear Jesus in the gospel lesson for today? He's throwing those verbal grenades, isn't he? He turns around and looks at a crowd. Wow, it's getting big. Something the preacher would like, you think. He's going to thin it out. He knows what's in the hearts of some of these people. They're there following him for all the wrong reasons. A lot of them call him the bread king because Jesus, he takes a couple pieces of bread and fish and feeds a multitude. Others, he's the miracle worker. He's the healer. To others, he's just a great storyteller. Jesus knows they're there for the wrong reasons. And so he calls the question, you want to follow me? You want to be my disciple? Hate your father, hate your mother, hate your son, hate your daughter, hate your brother, hate your sister. Now you hear those words, and say, whoa, that doesn't sound like other things we hear from God about loving each other. So often Jesus goes for the shock value. Okay? He wants you to pay attention. If your right hand sins against you, cut it off. Right? That's a shock value. What's he saying? He's comparing loyalties. And he's saying, listen, if you're going to follow me, the love you have for me is out going to outshine all the love you have for others. Yeah, you're going to love your wife. You're going to love your husband. You're going to love your son. You're going to love your daughter. You're going to love your brother. You're going to love your sister. But compared to the love you have for me, totally does not compare. That's what he's saying. Jesus speaks about loving others and that he is to be first. He talks about loving things and things of the world, and he says you better be ready to let them go. He's not telling us to sell everything we have. He's saying be ready to let those things go. And don't let those things of the world be your source of hope or support. Jesus says, I'm the only one. I am not going to be shared with other things of the world that you find support in. You find all your support in me. You find all your strength in me. You find all your hope in me. They're strong words. You know, we make the faith too easy at times. We make religion too easy. We make spirituality too easy. Whatever you call it, we make it too easy. Jesus doesn't make it easy. Oh, salvation is free, but it may cost you everything. That's what he's saying. It's free, but it may cost you everything. Be ready to let go of things of this world. He doesn't want your possessions to possess you, and that happens to so many people. We become slaves to our possessions. God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to look only to Him. He wants us to be a steward of everything and yet an owner of nothing. Think about all you have. A steward of everything but owner of nothing. Jesus said, you want to follow me? I'm not here to give you a makeover. I'm here to take over. There's a big difference. If you want to be my disciple, you buy in all the way. He talks about the man building a tower, whether it's a Walsh tower or a tower to store grain in, we're not sure. But he talks about a man who doesn't count the cost. He lays the foundation, he begins to build the tower, and he can't finish it. People ridicule him because he didn't think it through. He didn't go through the process. He didn't plan properly. He didn't count the cost. Now, I know it says in our bulletin today we were going to do a survey during church, but I got so excited with the visual renderings of our project. You know, you can look at the little pencil marks that you know, the architect draws, and it's hard to really understand. But when you see it visually, and you get excited. We have a survey we want everybody to take. We're going to take it in church, but I know it's a lot to take in. I've taken it in already, so I'm there. You need to take it in. Starting online tomorrow on our website, you can watch that video again. You can read our vision statement. Why are we doing this? What are the reasons? A lot of counsel, a lot of advice had been sought, a lot of discussion, a lot of study. We want to share that with you. And then to fill out that survey, what we're doing is like that man building the tower. He has to figure out, can he afford to build the tower? And that's where we're at right now. Where are we as a congregation? Is this something feasible? We believe it has great ministry benefit and certainly represents the ministry of this congregation in the past. But we operate as a unit. We operate as the body of Christ. We operate as the family of Redeemer. And we need everybody to be a part of it. So please, give it prayer, give it thought. And this week, also give some thought to how you plan for the future. Is God a part of it? Or have we just been foolish or full of false pride? Have we been fooling ourselves, thinking that we have some type of control of what happens in this world to us? Bow the knee and say, if the Lord will, we do this or that. Also, let's give some thought to how committed we are to Jesus. Salvation's a free gift, but it may cost you everything. To be a steward of everything, but an owner of nothing. How are we doing on that? How are we living our life? Where do we find our hope? Where do we find our promise? Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? Then follow me. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
Thank you.
Please rise. Dear Heavenly Father, in our sinful flesh, we have not counted the cost, and we have come up short. But you have sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that he might pay the price where we could not. Because you have paid our debts, you have brought us back into union with you by granting us your Holy Spirit. May this be our everlasting hope. Give this same hope to those facing health concerns this day, that they might cling to you at all times, knowing the glory you have prepared for them. We bring before you Vincent, Rose Roselli, Rob, Rose Carr, Barbara Hessen, Bryce Schwartz, John Baker, William Specht, Kent Peterson, Todd Aho, Margot Gray, Chris Leonard, Greg Kay, Jenny Schaum, Janelle Thorne, Carolyn Tiberian, Bill Rolfe, Jim and Jan Hogan, Bob Ernewine, and Betty Chuslow. For all those on hospice care, especially Gwen Baker, Heavenly Father, give them comfort during their time of pain and remind them always of the glorious inheritance they have in you. For Nancy Dillman and all Redeemer members who are homebound, we ask for your strength and encouragement. For President Trump and all world leaders, give them wise counsel that they might give us justice in our land. For all those serving in the military, police, and firefighters, we ask that you would protect them in their work and bring them home safely. For those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, we give you thanks, especially for the birth of Harrison Williams Hall, Pastor Randy and Andrea's grandson. We give you thanks for the sanctuary altar flowers placed by the youth ministry mentors and the sanctuary lectern flowers placed by Kirk and Debbie Vernacki. We also give you thanks for the family of God's Soup Kitchen and Positive Parenting sponsors, Pollyanne Dukes and Gary and Pam Priscorn. And we pray, dear Father, as you have taught us,
our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the
now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.